Take your Bibles tonight and turn to... How'd you know, Brother Ralph? How'd you know I wasn't done there yet? Amen? I don't know what he said, but everybody's laughing, so I guess it was funny. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to, if the Lord let me, I'm going to say a couple funny things tonight. Just because the Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And you all were willing to sit here till after 12:30 with me Sunday morning. And how much I appreciate that. I really do. I just couldn't find any way to break that message down. It's a blessing. You'd be willing to stay with us. Let's look here at the Bible in verse number 10. Verse number 10. And I mean this. When the Lord says we're done, when I look at chapter 4 and I don't get anything, we'll go somewhere else. Or I'll call one of these preachers, amen. Take a Wednesday night break, amen, until I figure out where we're going. The Bible said in verse number 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Boy. Turn to Romans chapter 1 real quick. I didn't plan on this, but man, I tell you, this is good. Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1, I'll know what verse maybe when I get over there. I left my large print Bible at home, so if I read something that don't sound like the King James, I promise you I have a King James Bible laying in front of me. Amen. All right. Wow, these pages in this one, that'll teach me to forget my large print. Okay, here we go. I want you to look at verse number, what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is contentment. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I believe in a lot of people's lives it's missing. And I believe there's a misconception sometimes of contentment. For example, somebody going to go buy them a new car. Does that mean they're discontent? Not necessarily. Somebody going to sell their house and move. Does that mean they're discontent? Not necessarily. How many's with me right there? Somebody wants to go buy a new suit of clothes. Does that mean they're discontent? Not necessarily. How many knows what I'm talking about? Anyway, sometimes that's the way we think about it. That I want to show you tonight some things about it. But I want to give you something the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart about. Not that I speak in respect of one. This is verse 11. "For I have learned in whatsoever state..." What's those next two words? What's those next two words? "Whatsoever state I am." I want to show you something real quick. Well, this will bless your heart. I've never seen it before. Never thought about it. Look in verse number 14, and let's see. I believe it's verse number 14. It is. Verse number 14 of Romans chapter 1. What's the first two words? Glory to God. Brother Randy, you're talking about getting content. If we had these three I ams, we'd have that other I am. Watch this now. He said, "I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is," what's them next two words? "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." For, what's them next two words? Glory to God, if we get tied up with these three I ams, amen, we'd be I am content too, wouldn't we? Amen. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I'll get to it later. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Boy, I thought that was good. In verse number 12, I know both how to be abased. You know, Paul didn't have an easy road. Sometimes when he came into town, they were ready to kill him when he got there. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be put down, how to be slandered and all that stuff. And he said, I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things, he said, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for loving us enough to leave us the Word of God. And Lord, without it, we certainly would be without direction. We would be without, Lord, devotion. And Lord, we would never have that determination that we have in our lives to walk with you and serve you. And Lord, to be saved by the grace of God, to serve by the grace of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight you take the message and Lord, bless it, use it for thy glory. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this. I thought it would be interesting tonight. And then there's a couple little things that kind of spun off of it that I'll just tell you. It doesn't have anything to do with the message. I just want to cheer you up tonight. An airline pilot was flying over the Tennessee mountains, and he pointed out a lake to his co-pilot. See that little lake, he said? When I was a kid, I used to sit in a rowboat down there fishing. And every time a plane would fly overhead, I'd look up and wish I was flying it. Now I look down and wish I was in a rowboat fishing. How many knows what was just said in that? Amen. Some people just never content. Amen. Whether they're down here fishing, looking up at the plane, or up there in the plane, looking down at the boat. I heard a little joke one time about the faithful fisherman, and you'll like this. Again, the Lord put this in my heart when I thought about this illustration. Just a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. They said this man was on the lake fishing. You know, if you go down to Cherokee Lake down here, and you can look up at 11W that runs along the lake in many places. And they said this man was out there in the boat fishing, and said all at once he just stood up in the back of the boat and put his hat over his heart. And the fellow in the front of the boat said, man, I'm impressed. He said, funeral procession was going by up on the highway. And the fellow in the front of the boat said, man, I am impressed. He said, it's the least I could do. I was married to her for 40 years. That's a faithful fisherman, amen. He's out there on the lake, amen. You're not going to do that, though, are you, Brother Rose? You're not that faithful to fish, are you, Brother? Amen. Amen. Somebody said one time, this just things come to my mind about fishing. Somebody said, I caught a big one. One guy said, how big was it? He said, I don't know, but the picture weighed 5 pounds. That sounds like a fisherman. I got a plaque from my grandfather. They asked me when my grandfather done. My grandpa done died. This has been years and years ago. I don't know how old I was. How old, Miss Eve? 10, 11, something like that. No, I was a little older than that. I was that old when Granny done died. My mom's mom. But when Grandpa died, they asked me. And he had a little thing sitting on the shelf just on a piece of pine. And it was a little plaque. It said, I ask a simple question. The truth I only wish. Are all fishermen liars? Or do only liars fish? And all that was birthed in my heart just reading that one little paragraph right there. Amen. I just wanted to help you tonight. Amen. I appreciate you being here. One man told his children, he's talking about contentment tonight. He said, when I die, he said, bury me at the Walmart. He said, that way your mom will come and visit me. Amen. All right. The word content, it comes from a Greek word that means self-sufficient or independent. And when you look at that, what it might look like is that a man can make it alone. But when you're looking at the Bible idea of contentment, what that means is to be content. We're not depending on what's going on around us to be content, but on the inside of us, what's going on inside of us is what helps us to be content. And some people, they go after what they think will make them happy, only to find that it didn't work. And sometimes they're even happier before they started out. There were two teardrops floating down the river of life, and one teardrop said to the other, who are you? And he said, I'm a teardrop from a girl who loved a man and lost him. Who are you? She said, I'm the teardrop from the girl who got him. Some people are just never, never, ever content. I believe as God's people, we should learn some things tonight. Number one, Paul didn't say this was a gift from God. Paul didn't say it was fruit of the Holy Spirit. What Paul said was, I've learned. And whatsoever state I am, I used to say that jokingly when I was traveling with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I've learned in whatsoever state I am. I was all over the Southeast when I started out. I'd be in Florida one week and Mississippi the next week and back home, Missouri the next week and Tennessee and the Carolina and Georgia. I'm not kidding. Now, Louisiana, it's hard to tell where I was going to be. But I was content. I know that. Because I was doing what God wanted me to do. Then I ended up in the Northeast. But I'll give you some things tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. As the Lord spoke to my heart about this, I've learned. And whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. First of all, let me give you three evidences of discontentment. These are evidences that an individual is not content. The first one would be murmuring or complaining. When we get to murmuring, and I'm not going to turn to the passage of Scripture. It's over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you know, it's birthed out of Exodus chapter number, or the book of Exodus. I'm not sure exactly what chapter, where the children of Israel, Brother Randy brought a message a while back, how they murmured. They murmured, and they thought they were murmuring against Moses. Who were they actually murmuring against? It was God, amen, that they were murmuring against. So if we murmur and we complain, what we're doing is just telling the whole world, I'm not content. And one of the things that's going on in our country is everybody thinks they deserve more than what they've got. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. And so many tonight are just looking for a handout and who will promise some more stuff. How many knows I told it right there? Amen. So murmuring and complaining. The second one, evidence of discontentment, the Bible said be careful for nothing, or anxiety, being anxious. That's an evidence of discontentment. And then in Philippians 4 and verse number 7, the Bible said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, one evidence of being discontent is a fear that comes upon an individual. The Bible said that perfect love casteth out fear. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment tonight. Romans chapter number 8. I want to read a passage of Scripture here. In Romans chapter number 8, when we're talking about fear, the Bible said in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Look at this. This will take care of fear. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Who's writing this? The Apostle Paul. He's experienced this. And he learned through all these experiences to be content. If he was full, he was content. If he was hungry, he was content. If he was, my friend, built up, he was content. If he was abased, he was content. He was just content because he knew the Lord. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Now here's the thing, through him that loved us. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm not going to run this rabbit tonight. But I want to tell you something tonight. There are a lot of good people, God-fearing people that have genuinely been born again that do not know the truth of these verses and lay down every night in fear. I've heard many, many men that God showed them the truth said, listen, I know I got saved. I just didn't know how long I saved for. I saved forever. Amen. Many good people didn't know that when they got saved. And there was that fear, if I do this wrong or if I don't do this right. Thank God Almighty for the grace of God. Amen. It'll help us to be content along the way. So the evidences of contentment, murmuring and complaining, anxiety, and fear. Let me give you some things tonight that I believe will help us, and I believe they're evident in the life of the Apostle Paul. I'll give you some things. Well, let me tell you what happened Sunday. I read my text Sunday. My granddaughter told me, said, Papa, she said, I was taking notes. And she said, I was taking a lot of notes. She said, and then you said you was getting ready to get started. So I'm getting ready to get started, okay? I appreciate you taking notes on the introduction, amen, but I'm getting ready to get started. I thought that was precious, didn't you, amen? I think I was about 10 minutes till 12 when that happened. So she had 15 or 20 minutes of notes going into that. Let me give you a couple things tonight, and then I'll get into the message just by way of introduction. I believe Paul had a way of looking at the cross. It helped him to be content. He learned how to be content when he looked at the cross. The Bible said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The cross is a divider of men. And Paul knew which side of the cross. Knew which side of Calvary he was on. So we ought to look at the cross. But then number two, Paul teaches us something else about learning to be content. We ought to let go of the past. A lot of people never be content because they cannot let go of the past. And Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. We studied this in Philippians 3. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we look at the cross. We let go of the past. It'll help us to be content. But then we ought to live in the present. Someone said it like this, if I can remember it. They said, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today's all the cash you have. So spend it wisely. The Bible did say, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring. Watch, living in the present. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Now what about that right there? Have you ever talked to somebody that, you know, they said, I don't have anything to wear? You ever looked in that closet? Hello? Now listen, I don't want anybody's sympathy tonight, but I thank God for the generation I grew up in. I grew up with the hippies. You say, why would you thank God you grew up with the hippies? Well, my waist didn't change for years. Now, it's changed since then. But it didn't change for years. I just was going that way. And in those days, I only had two outfits of clothes, Brother Steve. One on and the other was being washed. But in those days, as I went that way, it was never cool to be caught in what they call floodwater pants. How many knows what floodwater pants are? That's when the bottom of your pants is about to clear the top of your socks. It's a sight to see, amen? Everybody knew I wasn't Steve Urkel. I'm not a geek. I couldn't got by with that, amen? So what? In those days, we sewed material on the bottom. Watch them nodding that little head up down. Tell them how old they are. Amen. We sewed material. So in those days, all I had to do was cut off that material, sew some more material on, and keep it growing. Amen. I didn't know I was poor. I didn't know it. Nowadays, they go buy a brand new pair of blue jeans, throw them up in there and shoot them with a shotgun, and that's the style. Say amen. Good night. We didn't want holes in our blue jeans, and now they want to blow a hole in them. Amen. Then get more money out of them. Therefore, I say, take no thought for your life, what you eat, what you drink, your body, what you put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, they don't reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by thinking about it, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. I believe a person, when they're content, Calvary is special to them. I believe when a person is content, they're going to let go of the past. Amen. They're not going to dwell on that stuff back there. Amen. And I believe when a person is content, they learn to live in the moment and live in the present. Amen. Some people have learned the hard way to appreciate what they had only by losing it. And that's a shame. We ought to appreciate what we have while we have it. Say amen. And be content. There are three things that I want to give you tonight, simply and quickly, that will help us to learn to be content. I believe these were all evidenced in the life of the Apostle Paul. Number one, our faith. I wrote beside this, beside of our faith. I'm just giving it to you as the Lord spoke to my heart about it. Our faith will help us in our contentment. Who are you living for? Who are you living for? Who are you living your life for? How many believe we ought to live our life for the Lord? We ought to live our life for the Lord. That helps in this area of contentment. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of people in a trap, are they not? They think a new set of wheels will impress somebody, or a new or clothing, this kind of clothing or that kind of clothing will impress somebody, or this kind of job or that kind of job. We ought to thank God for all that. But listen, we shouldn't be here as God's people to impress anybody. We ought to be living for Him and be content. Learn. I believe Paul learned to be content in his faith. I don't believe Paul would have ever been content had it not been for meeting Jesus. Salvation helped him to be content, but it wasn't just salvation, his service. He was occupied with others and ministering the Word of God to others. Our faith, who are you living for? The Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness. There's another verse, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it's in the Bible. And it says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It's in there. It's in the Word of God. I promise you it is. And there's none of us that would carry in some kind of a little suitcase and get out a little wooden god and bow down to an idol. None of us would do that. But if we let anything consume us and get between us and the Lord, covet, you don't even have to have it. You can just be looking over there and wanting it. Amen? And that want consuming you. Somebody said this, and I think it's wonderful. Said, if you want to feel rich, just start thinking about and counting all the things you have that money can't buy. How many of you got a friend? How many's lived long enough to know that there are people that think you can buy a friend, but really money cannot buy a friend? A family. How many's got a family? You can't buy a family. Family that loves you. The family unit. You can't buy that. What I went through about 9.5 years ago now was pretty tough. I had a wreck and broke my back up. And gravel's in my face and in my hair. But I tell you what, when I look back, I wouldn't take nothing from my family. Not one nurse ever bathed me. Not one orderly ever bathed me. My children bathed me from the waist up and washed my hair, pulled me up into bed and took a wash basin and washed my hair. My wife would take care of the rest, bathing me. You don't know what a blessing that was. I told my wife the third day, I said, honey, if you don't go home and take a shower, you're going to be stinking. She didn't want to leave my side. Money can't buy that. Our faith. Who are you living for? He said, I will never leave thee. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. There's three things I see right there in that text, Hebrews 3, 5, and 6. I see number one, his presence. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I see number two, his power. The Lord is my helper. I see number three, his protection. He said, I will not fear. Brother Rose, don't you feel sorry for men in this country that mount the pulpit every Sunday afraid of what somebody's going to do or somebody's going to say or what somebody's not going to give if they preach the truth? Help us, Jesus. Help us. Our faith. Who are you living for? Paul said, I've learned to be content. When Paul stood up, he wasn't worried about what they thought. He wasn't worried about their rocks. Amen? He just preached the Word of God. You know what I love? I love the fact that there's still some people in this world that want exactly that. Just give us the Bible like it is to us, like we are. That's our only hope. Of becoming Christ-like in this world that we live. Proverbs 19 and 23 said, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. That's just the opposite of discontentment. That means a man that has the fear of the Lord, he's satisfied. He's content in life. He shall not be visited with evil. What a blessing. Our faith. Who are you living for? Secondly, our focus. What are you looking for? Our faith. Who are you living for? Our focus. What are you looking for? Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Somebody asked of a rich man one time, said, wonder how much he left. A wise man said, all of it. That's a good answer. Rich or poor, what a man leaves is all of it. There's no U-Hauls headed for glory. We brought nothing into the world, and we're not going to take anything out. The Bible said here, having fruit, food and raiment, let us be therewith content, but they that will be rich. I didn't understand that for a long time. If you listen to some people, you'll think you're not right with God unless you're rich. If you listen to other people, they'll tell you that you can't be right with God and be rich. But here in this text, it's not talking about rich people. It's talking about people who want to be rich. By the way, I don't know of anybody doing this. And if you do, you have to take this up with God, what I'm about to say. But that's why there's so many people down there at them markets are scratching. Say amen. They want to get rich. Ain't that right? That's why so many cheat in business. That's why so many will cut corners. Amen. Because they want to get rich. Let me just go ahead and say this. That's why many honest men go to Washington and end up dishonest before they leave. I didn't mean to say that, but I did, and it's the truth. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Watch this now. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It did not say that money was the root of all evil. But the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The Bible said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. The Lord saved me. And I'm honest with you. I've never worried about having a ride. I've never worried about having clothes. I've never worried about having something to eat. I'm being honest with you. I've never worried about having friends. There was a man, and maybe you feel this way. There was a man said one time, he said, if you've got that many real friends in the world, he said, you're a blessed individual. I'm going to tell you something right now. Either I've got a lot more than that in this world, or I'm bad deceived, Brother Ralph. Amen, brother. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I don't believe I could sit in one night and write down the people that I believe all I'd have to do. You say, preacher, you bragging? Yeah, I'm bragging on Jesus. Jesus has given me some wonderful friends. I thought I had friends when I was running around out there, Brother Tim. But when my money run out, their friendship run out. Thank God. Look at our faith. Who are you living for? That'll help you to be content. Are you living for the Lord? Our focus. What are you looking for? What are you looking for in this life? Are you seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I believe that'll really go a long way as toward contentment. The third thing, I'll give you this and I'm done tonight. It's just how the Lord spoke to my heart there. You know, why leave chapter number 4 and not talk about contentment? Paul said, I've learned. You know what we ought to be able to say tonight? One of two things. Either I have learned, and there's nothing wrong with this, or I am learning. Amen? How to be content. By the way, I'm just going to say this tonight. I don't know if anybody needs it or not, but I'm going to say it. It's the truth. How many people have got themselves in trouble, went head over heels in debt and such things as that? A lot of young people get married. Listen to me carefully right here. And they think in 2 years they ought to have what mom and dad has worked for 40 years. Am I right or am I wrong? Somebody ought to get the picture album out and show them where mom and dad started. Show them Miss Eve that 2x6 furniture that we bought. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, it was pine. Pegged together at the corners, and they had cushions that were that long and went like this on it. Amen? We didn't know no better. We made payments on that. Troutman and Noble. They felt sorry for us, I believe. Amen? How many of y'all can remember where you got started? Amen? Our faith, our focus, the last thing tonight, and I'll let you go, our future. Where are you longing for? The person that's discontent, that's longing for more and more of this world, his longing's not in the right place. Brother Steve mentioned it a while ago, Jesus is coming. Honey, that's the world we ought to be longing for. Our future. Think about our future. I like this. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget to tell you. But Brother Grizzle said this to me a couple of times since I've been here as pastor. We would be discussing different things. He said, you know what, preacher? 100 years from now, it won't matter. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There are some things that 100 years from now will matter. It's going to matter, did we stand for what's right? It's going to matter, did we try to reach the lost? It's going to matter, did we pray one for another? It's going to matter, did we give to missions? Amen? 100 years from now, Brother Gary, a missions expansion fund will still matter. Of course, you understand that when Jesus wraps this thing up, then you got 7 years and then you got 1,000 years. So we could safely say 100 years. But there's going to be a time when time shall be no more. But even when time shall be no more, Brother Gale, there's some things that's still going to matter. Riley ran up to me tonight, Sister Kay. Give me one of them big old hugs. She didn't stay mad long, did she? Amen. I didn't shake her hand one service. And Miss Kay said, boy, she got mad at you. She must have learned that from Miss Kay. You say, preacher, what are you going to say right there? Something as simple as a little hug. 100 years from now might matter. Something as simple as a kind word. 100 years. Something, Miss Eve, might not be easy for everybody, but as easy for you as a pan of lasagna. 100 years of might matter. How many knows that's right? Contentment. Our faith. Who are you living for? Our focus. What are you looking for? Our future. Where are you longing for? Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. How many believes we could go through what Paul went through and call it light affliction? I doubt it. I'm saying that for me, not for you. I'm saying that for me. I doubt it. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. You say, preacher, how could Paul be so content? How could he learn to be content? He wasn't looking here. He was looking at yonder. To a future. Longing for that future. The Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, but not so. I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a blessing tonight for the children of God. That ought to help us tonight to be content. To be content. I haven't mastered this, and I doubt many of us have. But we certainly ought to be learning. Learning to be content. I have noticed in my life that the things that really used to matter really don't matter a lot anymore. Brother Rose, can you imagine a man, a young man, buying a car? And every time he washed the car, which was often, he raised the hood and washed the engine. I did. Honey, you could eat off the engine. Now you can't eat out of the car. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? Our priorities change. Some of us around here know we're nearing the shore. And we know that 100 years from now, it ain't going to matter whether the engine was clean or not. A lot of that, I don't know. I guess when you work and pay for something, I just tried to take care of it. Amen. But another thing too, Miss Jennifer, I didn't have no purpose in life. My whole life revolved around me and what I had and taking care of my stuff. How many knows what I'm talking about? But now I have a future. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. A wonderful future with the Lord. No wonder that the Apostle Paul said, for me to live, help me, is Christ. But to die is gain. Hallelujah. Just a couple of weeks before Daddy went home, he didn't say it exactly like the songwriter, but it means the same thing. He said, son, either way, I win. You just can't lose with Jesus. And God wants us to be content, to learn whatsoever state I am therewith. To be content. Miss Eve, if I complain about anything, don't you be bringing this sermon back up. Your wife don't do that, does she, Brother Steve? You get a little bit low when she look at you and say something like, don't you believe what you preach? Shh. I'd rather just go ahead and preach your own message, amen, than to throw mine back at me, amen. It's the Lord's message. He wants us to be content. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. Just pray. Let's see. Yeah, we'll be back next Wednesday night. And honestly, I don't know. If the Lord's done, he's done. But if there's something else there, then Miss Deb, I know it's hard, but be content with that man that God gave you, okay? I know it's hard. Amen. Bound to be. Amen. Just be content. A lot of people in the world discontent, aren't they? A lot of people. It certainly shouldn't be us, Dustin. When we go to Calvary, look at the cross. It ought to help us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you tonight for this opportunity. I pray, God, we could leave here tonight with that thought on our mind. I've learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Thank you, Lord, that the Apostle Paul wasn't just a preacher, but he gave us a good example to follow after. Lord, he wasn't real concerned about the things of this world. Lord, the psalmist told us, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. And I believe it might get bad in this country, Lord. But Lord, I believe this. You'll help us. You'll feed us. You'll see to it, Lord. As long as we're here, your children are taken care of. We believe the word of God. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name.